A few years ago, three young men approached me in the hall of the church and asked if I knew anyone who would take them in. They were here on a summer internship. They were from the University of Florida. And they said that a day after they arrived, the family housing that was set up for them fell apart. The family backed out and left them stranded in this strange city. They had one more day of money to pay for a hotel, and they were out of food, they would be out of money, and had no place to sleep. So I decided to take them in for the summer. We didn't know each other. They were in their 20s, an age that I was really glad to finally get through with my own son. And they were from the South, from a whole different culture of life. But even though it was pretty scary for both of us, it turned out really to be one of the best summers of my life. By the time they left, I felt like I had three new sons, Mario, Terry, and Abu. We shared meals together, we talked about our faith together, our struggles and our triumphs in life. And at the end of that summer, I was really, really glad that I extended the hospitality to them and that we were able to trust God together to have an impact on each other's lives, because that's exactly what happened. And we continue to stay connected today. In the gospel today, we have a similar story of Jesus sending the 12 out on a similar mission that requires hospitality from the community. A willingness to open up, to welcome others, to share what you have, to have an exchange, to impact each other. And so he sends them out on their first missionary journey, two by two, with no money, no food, no traveling bag, a walking stick, and a pair of sandals. How is that for vacation packing? A mission, right, to bring God's message of love and justice to a community that is foreign to them. But Jesus knows that his time is short, his enemies are closing in on him, and he wants to get this message out to the world. And so two by two, they're sent. Why two by two? Two by two because when we do God's work, we do it in partnership with God and with each other. So the message here that Jesus is sending is that we can't do this work alone, that we need each other. In twos, they could support each other, they could encourage each other, and they could hold each other accountable for Jesus' message. Now, most of us like those first two, right? We like to be supported and encouraged. I know I do. But having accountability is just as important. It's just as important for us to hold each other accountable to Jesus' mission and his message of unconditional love and justice. My grandson taught me that lesson a few years ago. We were returning back from our vacation from Georgia, and we were driving. We were about 5 hours outside of Rochester, and I could see kind of in the distance that there was some kind of animal in the road that looked like it had been hit. And so I thought, well, I can get close and see what that is, and then I'm going to go around it. Well, I got closer to it, and all of a sudden, there were a barrage of cars that hemmed me in, and I couldn't go anywhere except straight. And so I hit it, whatever it was. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rang, and my daughter called me. And so I was talking to her, and while I was talking to her, my grandson was in the back seat saying, "Nanny, tell her what you did. Tell her what you did, Nanny. Tell her what you did." I was like, oh, okay. So shamefully, I told her what I did. And when I hung up, I looked at him and I said, "Pumpkin, why were you so insistent that I tell her what I did?" He said, "Because now you know what it's like to not be perfect." So at 8 years old, right, he's teaching me about accountability. He's holding me accountable, right, reminding me that I am not perfect, that it's really important to acknowledge our mistakes when we make them, that it's important to be vulnerable, to be responsible for our actions, right, to be answerable when we get it wrong. So holding each other accountable really is what helps us to grow. It helps us to grow in our lives. And I'll tell you something, in my future travels, when I see something in the road ahead, I hurry up and get right out of the way. I don't wait until the last minute. So I'm very grateful to Pumpkin for holding me accountable. So Jesus sends his disciples out and sets up this system of pairing them for accountability and for support and encouragement. And it says he gives them authority over unclean spirits. Now, the biblical understanding of unclean spirits was really to have authority and power and influence over evil spirits. So Jesus' message to them and to us today is that he's sending them out with a level of authority and influence over evil in the world. And sometimes it feels like we don't have any influence or power over it, but Jesus says, you do. Go out and use your influence to affect and to change evil in the world. And so his message is that we can do something about the evil around us. You may remember the quote by Edmund Burke when he said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. To do nothing. And we have lots of witnesses of good people doing something, right? The evil of slavery was mitigated by the creation of the Underground Railroads, allowing those who were enslaved a pathway to freedom, and the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Good people who decided to not do nothing. The evil of separating immigrant children from their families was mitigated by the outcries of Americans who demanded that they be reunited and pushed a signing of an executive order to do so. And roughly 500 or more children have been united with their parents, with many more thousands to go. But we know that it will happen because Americans are calling for it. Yesterday afternoon, we took a Spark team into the 14605 community, knocking door to door to talk with the community about partnering with them to do something about the evils of racism and its impact on the Black community and communities of color. And so each door, as we knocked on those doors, required an extension of hospitality just to have the conversation with us. And so we talked to residents about creating a Black community focus fund and about installing a civil rights park to tell the story of the Black freedom struggle in this community. And the residents were so happy to hear that a church was walking with them to address the evils of racism. And together, that we could partner together to stop racism from triumphing in creating more poverty and poor education outcomes or wage disparities or unemployment or incarceration and so much more. And we were excited as we realized that we were exercising our influence, our power, our authority given by God over the evil of racism to create more justice, to create more compassion in the world. And so Jesus does the same thing. He sends his disciples out to mitigate the evil in the world by bringing his message of compassion, his message of love, and his message of repentance, instructing them that these things will heal the lives of the people that they encounter. Because they are going to an oppressed community as well. Perhaps a community that didn't feel good about themselves because of their experiences of oppression. They maybe have been struggling to treat each other well. Maybe they felt like life was kind of closing in on them. But the job of these 12 was to bring the presence of God. And that's our job, to bring the presence of God to each other and to remind them that God cares and that God is with you. So Jesus tells them, take nothing for your journey except a walking stick. They are not to live above the people. They're not to go in with all their privilege and make the people feel like they're down here and they're up here, but they're to go in on the same level with the people. They're to go in humble, with humility, one human heart to another human heart, in solidarity, walking together with the people that they would encounter to figure out what it is that God has in store for them. The other message that Jesus sends them when he says, don't take anything with you, is for them to know that they are completely dependent on God and the generosity of the people that they will meet. And you know what? We're completely dependent on the kindness of God too, and the kindness of each other and of strangers. And so Jesus says, whenever, you know, you go to this town, to take nothing with you and be completely dependent on the kindness and the generosity of the people. Now, we have some idea what it means to be completely dependent, right? Babies are completely dependent on their parents. And when you and I get really old, we're going to be completely dependent on other people to take care of us. But if you live in between those realities, you're not a baby or you're not an older person that needs care, it is sometimes easy to feel like, you know what, I get up and I go to work every day and I am providing for myself and I am dependent on no one, right? We can feel like I bought my house by myself, I bought my car, this food that's on my table, I'm paying for it, clothes on my back, all of this, I did it for me. And completely miss the mercy and the grace of God that makes it all happen. I remember as a kid watching my grandmother, and she would say a prayer every morning that would help me understand God's grace allowing everything to happen in my life. She would rise in the morning and she would say this prayer. She'd go, "Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning, for eyes to see, for ears to hear, the activity of my limbs, clothes on my back and food on my table. God, for blood running warm in my veins and a mind to serve you." And it had such an impact on me. She taught us that nothing could occur without God waking us up and allowing us our abilities, even though it may seem that we were in charge of what we had. You may have heard the story of a preacher who met a famous actress, and the actress said to him, "I suppose you are a religious man." And he said, "Yes, I suppose I am." "Aha," she said. "You want God to hold your hand. You want someone to hold your hand." And the preacher said to the woman, "No, you have it all wrong. I don't ask God to wipe the tears from my eyes. Rather, I want God to give me the compassion to wipe the tears from the eyes of other people's. I don't ask God," he said, "to hold my hand. No, I want God to give me the moral strength to reach down and lift up the fallen and the outcast." And that is Jesus' mission for us to the world. Jesus goes on to tell them to stay at the house where they are welcomed, and to not leave, to stay there, to build relationship, to share the message that he's given them. He says, don't go looking for better accommodations, because the work of ministry really isn't about our own comfort or our own privilege. It's about the needs of the people that we are called to serve, the poor and those who are waiting on help from God. And so Jesus tells them to be grateful for what they have been given. Be content, be satisfied. And then he gives a final instruction where he says, in whatever place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, just leave there and shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Right? Don't take it personally. Don't hold a grudge. Jesus knew that it might not always be a welcome message, right? And that they might experience rejection of a message that says we need more compassion in the world. We need more justice in the world. Because changing course can be hard, but it's necessary. And so his message to them is, don't let rejection slow you down. It's a part of life. Sometimes we'll have to deal with rejection. But it doesn't say anything about who you are. Let go of it, he says. Your words will find a heart that will be ready. And you know, we have lots of people in the world who can teach us about rejection. You may have heard of the gentleman Mark Boyle, who is an Irish activist and a writer, who's best known for founding the online free economy community, for living without money. And he's been doing that since November of 2008. In 2008, he was inspired by the life of Gandhi, and he decided that he and two of his friends would make a 9,000-mile walk from Britain to India without a dime in their pocket. So at the end of January 2008, they packed a few items, stepped into their hiking shoes, and they hit the road. And their goal was to rely on the kindness of strangers as they traveled. Whenever they entered a town, they'd offer a few minor services, and they would accept food and lodging for payment. Well, a month into their trip, this confident trio had to give up by the time they got to Calais, France. Why? For several reasons. One is, no one in the group spoke French, so the language barrier was really hard for them to overcome. Number two, the townspeople were suspicious at what they believed to be a bunch of freeloaders, so they gave them a cold shoulder and they didn't welcome them in. So out of food, days without sleeping, and being really cold, they had to reassess the whole situation. Saddened over this failed mission of theirs, they returned home, but they didn't give up just because they met some rejection. Later, Boyle would go on to set up a free economy community online and where he lives locally that has over 42,000 members in 168 countries. Similar to our Free Cycle Network, which was inspired by his work. So wherever strangers embrace each other, they share resources, skills, tools, spaces, without ever exchanging money. People relying on each other's generosity of heart. And you may remember Walt Disney, who teaches us about rejection. Walt Disney was actually fired from the Kansas City Star in 1919 because his editor said he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. So these are people, right, who did not let rejection slow them down. Jesus himself met with rejection. He understands rejection, and he didn't let it slow him down either. He never held it against anyone. When his hometown people rejected him, he let it go. When Judas rejected him, when he was rejected by religious leaders, the rich young ruler, and ultimately the crowd who said, you know, who should I release to you, Jesus or Barabbas? They chose Barabbas. They rejected Jesus. But he let it go. He knows about rejection. He knows how to get over it. He knows that the only way to do that is by offering forgiveness, understanding. So when we experience direct rejection in our lives, we too can overcome it. We too can endure it. And Jesus is a great teacher for that. Now they have their instructions, and we're told that they're sent off to preach repentance. Now, sometimes it's hard to preach and talk about repentance because we all would like to think that we get it right the first time, right? That there's no reason to turn around, to repent, to think differently about the direction that we're in or that we're going. But they are invited to go to this community and to talk about repentance, a turning around, to look at ways in which they have failed to love and to repent. So when Jesus was asked what were the greatest commandments, remember he said there's two of them that you can wrap everything up in, the love of God and the love of neighbor. And so this is the work that the mission of the 12 is based on. And you know, there's lots of reason in our world that we could continue to keep calling for that repentance, that turning around, right? That repentance from racism, from sexism, from homophobism, classism, ableism, ageism. There's so much turning around that we can do to begin to love each other better and be more compassionate with one another. And so this mission of the 12 was to help each other to do that, to remind a community of how important it is to get back to loving each other the way that God intended. And so as the message of repentance is preached in this gospel, we learn that the 12 were able to accomplish their mission. They were able to drive out many demons, it says. Many people were anointed and healed. And their healing followed this work of repentance and the reception of a message of love and justice. And so I think today the apostles come to teach us many lessons in this gospel. They come to show us that we always have God to depend on, that God will take care of us, that we can walk with one another along life's journey, no matter how hard it gets, that we have influence and power over the evil in our world by bringing our love and compassion and inclusion and acceptance to others. and that Jesus invites us and believes that we have the ability to do all of these things. This was their mission today. It is also ours.